desire your prayers this morning. It's never easy to get up to preach in any setting. We're looking to the Lord to bless us today. The Lord has put a specific burden on our heart, and we trust that your hearts are ready to receive it and that you would allow the Lord to work with you. Just give me a moment. I'll draw a picture on the board here. Topic this morning is spilled milk. I first like to start by talking about some natural examples. Growing up, I had siblings, and I was the older sibling. And one of my siblings tended to kind of have spills all the time. They would pour something up, and just as sure as they start pouring, it would spill. So those of you on the side, you may not be able to see, there's a carton of milk, there's a puddle of spilled milk, there's an arrow pointing to the spilled milk, and then there's a cup on the right that has milk in it. And that used to bother me a whole lot. And I would get so upset. Why can't you be more careful? Why don't you ask for help? And one day, I was in a hurry to go to work, and I was going to get a bowl of cereal, and I went to the fridge, and I grabbed that milk, and as I turned around, the whole gallon fell out my hand and spilled on the floor. And you know what the first thought that came to my mind? All them times I got frustrated with my sibling. And you know I had to go buy another gallon of milk. That's not the only time the Lord taught me that lesson. When I got married and we started having children, the children would seem like they would always spill something. And I'd get a little irritated at it. And he allowed it to happen again. Spilled a whole gallon of milk on the floor. Needed the mop and the bucket to clean it up. Now, that was way more than what they were spilling. But you see how sometimes we can get irritated with things that people do around us? I want to begin reading in Matthew, the 18th chapter. We're going to read verses 21 and 22. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now, as we look at this, there is something that's going on in Peter's mind. He's a little uneasy about something that happened. Because in the previous verses, Jesus is talking about some forgiveness. And Peter's thinking in his mind, maybe the occasions where he had a chance to work with someone, and maybe they got on his nerves, and he had to forgive them. And so he said, till seven times? Will I forgive him seven times? Will that be enough? You know, seven is a complete number in the Bible. And in our human mind, in our human thought processes, seven is enough. But what did Jesus say? Jesus came unto him and said, "Not unto thee, until seven times, but 70 times seven." And as I thought about that, we all can do math, can't we? That's 490 times. Now, in our human minds, it takes great effort to remember the times that someone has caused me wrong or done me wrong to get to 490 times. And I believe the only place that could really happen is in the house. Maybe with siblings, maybe with parents and children, maybe with spouses. That's about as close as we can get to 490 times. But Jesus was trying to teach Peter something here. He wanted Peter to understand it's going to take something from God for you to be able to forgive over and over and over and over in your life. Have we had occasions where we've been close to someone and they seem to be the one that kind of irritates us or gets to us at times, and we're the one that always has to forgive? Where's your limit? Do you get to 3 and say, that's enough? Do you get to 7 like Peter and say, that's enough? Maybe you do better than Peter. Maybe you get to 14. Is that enough? Jesus said 70 times 7. He wanted to do a work in our hearts such that we are able to freely forgive. If we consider the amount of forgiveness that God gave us in each one of our lives, how many times has He forgiven us? Sometimes we may have lost count in our life how many times He's forgiven us. So how many times? There is something about human nature that causes us to tend to focus on where the problem lies. That's why the arrow's there. When the Lord gave me this vision, I asked Him, why? Why did you give it to me this way? And He emphasized too much spilt milk. It's easy for us to forget the things that happen in our life over time that God has been subtly trying to work with us to mend these various areas. You ever seen siblings get into something and then they never speak to each other for years? They can be saved and sanctified and feel like they're justified. This is what they did. It wasn't right. And so it's my choice of whether or not I'm going to forgive them. They know better. They got the same God I do. Why did He tell them about what they did? The spilled milk will get us in trouble if we spend our time focusing on it. The enemy wants us to focus on that, except for focusing on there's still milk in the carton and we got some in the glass. We'd like to look at an example in the Old Testament. A lot of times I tend to give homework when I'm preaching for the sake of time, because there are many scriptures that apply in certain situations and we can't take the time to read them all. So you all know the account of Jacob and Esau. So in your own time, take extra time to read all of the scriptures. We're going to point out just a few, but I want you to notice something. These men grew up in the Old Testament time, not under grace. And I want you to see what happened. Genesis 27, we're going to read verse 41. This is the occasion after Isaac had sent Esau to go kill him a wild animal and to make him a stew of it, and he was going to give his final blessing. And we know how Jacob came and his mother had him put on skins and had made him up a stew. Killed a goat, made up a stew, and he brought it and he took that blessing. Now listen to this. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. Now, these are siblings.
Yes, it's true.
And he wanted to kill his own sibling. How do you think that his father would have felt? His father would have been very grieved that Esau would kill Jacob. Out of his respect for his father, Esau said, I'm going to wait till the days of mourning are over. And that started a course between siblings. They parted, they separated, they went their own ways. And in your own time, you read chapter 27 through 33. And you're going to see some things that happened. There came an occasion where Jacob and Esau's paths were going to cross again. And we understand how Jacob had wrestled with that in his mind, that the enemy had really pushed that on him. Now, he's going to get you now. And they both had gone on in life and had prospered, had families, had possessions. But Jacob wrestled with that. And the scripture records all of his struggles, all of the things that he dealt with in his mind. And he got to a place to where he could finally give it to the Lord and get the victory. It said he wrestled with an angel. And as he wrestled with the angel saw that he wouldn't let him go. And he pressed him in his side of his thigh, took his leg out of joint. Now, have you ever had something out of joint? You can't hardly do anything with it. It's painful. But it did not deter Jacob from receiving his blessing. And what was the blessing that he needed? He needed the blessing that his mind was clear. He was hoping that some way, somehow, I can be reconciled to my brother Esau. The enemy is very good at dividing people. It is one of his chief instruments that he uses. He used it in the beginning all the way till now, so there's no reason why he's going to stop. And we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. We could have a great rejoicing meeting, be all together, have a good old time. And shortly after, the devil's going to try to creep something in. Cause some division somewhere. Cause some strife somewhere. And you know what? The time came for him to meet his brother. And he still wrestled with it. His human mind did not know what Esau was thinking. He got a report. Esau's coming with 400 men. Oh, and his heart started to shake again. He said, what am I going to do? And he decided to split his family and his possessions into two different pieces, thinking that Esau's whole purpose was to come and destroy him. But you know what? Something happened. Do you think Jacob was the only one that God was working on to try to fix the issues with him and his brother? No, God was working on Esau too. And sometimes the devil wants us to focus on that person that did us wrong, the one that caused trouble in our own heart. God is working on the other person too. He is not going to leave anything undone, anything uncleaned up. He's got a great big old towel to clean up the spilled milk. Genesis, the 33rd chapter, it said, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. With him 400 men, and he divided children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. Put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. He passed before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. There was some remorse in Jacob's heart. There was some sincerity, some earnestness. Look at the actions that he did. Sometimes people say I'm sorry, but their actions don't say I'm sorry. Some people say, I forgive you, but their actions don't say, I forgive you. But look at this. He bowed 7 times to his brother, hoping that some way, somehow, can I touch the innermost part of Esau's heart, that tender part that he says, he's still my brother. Now listen to this. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him. And it said, and they wept. There was some sincerity about wanting to bring back that connection between him and his brother. And look at this. These are people from the Old Testament that said he wept. Their hearts were tender and God was able to work with them. They didn't have the indwelling Holy Ghost. Now let's go back to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I'm going to read 3 other verses. This is, in my Bible, it says church discipline. So I ask that you would consider this when the occasion comes when you have an issue with somebody else. The social media is not the avenue to solve conflicts between people. It says in the 15th verse, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, what are you supposed to do? Go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Sometimes we get it wrong. I may be a little challenged with dealing with a particular person about a fault that I have with them, and so I feel more comfortable if I involve someone else. Do you know you could hinder that person that you involved? God put it, I want you to go to him first. Let's see if you and him can resolve it with me there too. That's the first step. Then it says, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I've been able to be reconciled with my brother on this critical issue in our lives, this part, this thing that separated us. We were able to come together, to work together, to solve the problem. Don't you know that's going to create a bond between you and that brother? And the next time, it won't be so easy to create a fault. It says, then if he will not hear thee, take with thee 1 or 2 more. That in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. We are not to bring our faults and our aughts to the church first, because there are tender souls that you are going to cause to be uprooted. We have to be very careful in this area of our lives. And it said, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Do you know that God has a way of revealing unto us the spilled milk? Sometimes we wonder, why am I going through this particular trial? Why am I suffering this illness? Why is this going on? Why is that going on? God is suddenly trying to clean up the spilled milk. Because none of these things can accompany us to heaven. How are we going to go to a heaven that was made for one bride and have these things existing? Christ is not coming back to this earth to get more than one bride. And we, as a Christian world in general, need to understand the only way we're going to make heaven is to be united in one. That's right. Amen. Everything's going to have to be cleared up. Everything's going to have to be taken care of. That sibling that's done us wrong, that brother, that sister, that husband, that wife, that distant relative, that close relative, we all going to have to take care of all that stuff. Do you know that it puts a damper on what God can do sometimes? Because these things are still hanging on. And God desires us to get these things taken care of. There's another picture he put in my mind one time. I was sitting in a church setting and I was looking around. And I saw the Holy Ghost moving through the crowd. However, there were walls up between people. And so the Holy Ghost would have to go around the wall. What does that wall represent? Our will. The way I want to do it. And the Holy Ghost was having to move in and out of those walls. And it was really hard for him to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. What if the walls were down? What if all those differences were gone? How quickly could he move in the setting? The Lord is very concerned about how we do things. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Do you know it's more important to God that our issues with one another be taken care of before we try to bring a sacrifice? Do you know that we can damper and we can hinder God working in our lives when there's issues still hanging on? The spilled milk is still on the table. And nobody did it, so it sits there. And it begins to get warm, and then there's an odor starts to rise up from it. Our sacrifices are supposed to be a sweet-smelling savior to the Lord. And what he gets sometimes, he gets our sweet-smelling savior, but he smells the spilled milk. And this is where we have to be really careful. Because the enemy will say, oh, that was not a big thing. That didn't bother them. You don't have to fix that. But God holds it real close for us to be paying attention to our relationships. What's the second commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know that I'm not going to mistreat myself? I'm going to probably try to do the best I can for myself. Heard a story one time. Person was telling me there was an individual treat everybody in the church so well. And when the person passed away, they came to the family and told them, oh, that person did so much for the people of God, treated them so well. And you know what the family member told them? I wish he would have did that. I wish they would have did that for me. Sometimes we can be like that. We take advantage of the people closest to us, the people that care about us, the people that love us. And we can run way over here and do all of this in this area. What about home? The spilt milk's on the table. And God desires all of it to be cleaned up so that he can truly work in our lives in the way that he desires. When we are saved and sanctified, there is still a human part of us. And do you know that the Holy Ghost still won't override our will? Yes, saved and sanctified, he won't override our will. And the Lord brought these scriptures to our heart. And as I began to meditate upon them, I said, these brothers were saved and sanctified. What happened? Acts, the 13th chapter,
First of all, let's find out what put these two brothers together.
13th chapter, verse 2, it said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Now here's a little bit more homework. You go ahead and read the 13th chapter on your own and see all the things that God did with these two brothers. Isn't there a scripture that says a thousand, or one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight? This represents to me that there was a maximization of God's working with these two brothers. And he was able to send them out, and they worked together, and they accomplished great things for the Lord. And you know what? God didn't hide what happened between them. He put it in the Bible so we can learn from it. These were saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled men that he sent out. And then what happened? Something happened. 15th chapter, verse 36 through 40. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city wherewith we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. We want to go out and get a report to see if there is progress being made in the church. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to work. Now listen to this verse. This is where we have to be careful. We are fighting a devil that knows how to get to us. And I can be so focused and so zealous for doing the work of the Lord that I lose sight of what is the Holy Ghost saying to me. I want to do this so bad for the Lord. It said that, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. What happened? They were working so good together. God had blessed, he had anointed, he had directed these two men to be together to work. Do you see what the enemy did to them? Little small disagreement. Who's going to go with us? Don't seem like a big thing, does it? They wasn't arguing over doctrine. They wasn't arguing over what they felt God was supposed to do or wanted to do. It was over who was going. And it said the contention was so sharp. Now, God put this in the Bible for us to learn from. We have to be very careful when we work together as gospel laborers with God that we don't cause something to come up where the work is hindered. Do you think that contention caused some people to leave? Do you think the amount of work that the Holy Ghost had ordained for them to do was completed? You ever think about that? He probably, if you put this in your mind, you and I, we do this. We make a to-do list, don't we? These are the things that we need to accomplish. We probably do that as a family. Or your wife does it for you as a husband. The honey-do list. And you want to accomplish everything on there. I imagine the Holy Ghost had a to-do list for Paul and Barnabas. And as they began to work with that and things started getting checked off, and the Holy Ghost said, all right, we're making progress here. But don't you know the Holy Ghost knew this was going to happen? If you read on in this book of Acts, the works of Paul are recorded. But you don't find much about Barnabas, do you? His works aren't recorded. What if this hadn't happened? And they were continually working them two together in the way that the Holy Ghost had ordained for them to. You probably would be reading in the next two chapters about more works that they have done. But do you see how the enemy does? He wants to break people up. This is not the first time that it's happened. It is surely won't be the last. It's not just in our particular church group. It happens everywhere. The enemy gets in there and begins to divide and conquer. He wants to do it in our homes. There could be harmony between a husband and a wife. Things are going good. And all of a sudden, bam, something happened. And now we got an issue. And it's hard to go to sleep at night when you land there beside your spouse and you got an issue with them. It takes humility to forgive. And you know what? It takes God's help to clean up the spilt milk. Because we have this thing in our head called a memory. God said, I will cast your sins from the east to the west and I will remember them no more. But us humans, I'm going to brace myself for the next time. And there goes the wall. And now you may need to touch the throne about something, but there's a wall there. And God is saying, clean up the spilt milk. He doesn't mind that milk spilled. That's part of being a human. It's part of the learning process. But he wants to clean it up. How oft shall I forgive my brother until seven times? Is that enough? Is seven times enough, husband and wives? Or does it take more? Children, is seven times enough? Or does it take more? How often do children get into it? You see, God created natural things to remind us about what his word says. And he gives us these little children, and we watch them, and they're playing together, nothing's going on. They're just getting along, and then something happens. Maybe one slaps the other one. It don't take them long to reunite. Few minutes, and they're back playing together. And the Lord taught me a valuable lesson like that. He said, adults sometimes are more difficult to deal with than children. Because they tend to hold things. The milk sits there. What is our focus? There's still milk in the carton. We did get some in the cup. But that part that we spilled, God smells it. He's looking at all of our lives. He sees in every area of our heart, even the times when nobody's around, and that sharp comment we make to our spouse, would you talk to yourself like that? Would you do those things to yourself? We have to be very careful. Parents and children. Children don't carry resentment for things that your parent have done that you don't understand. It takes a while before you can truly understand what the mind your parent has. You may be looking at this particular day or the next. I wanted to do this so bad. But you know what they're looking at? Way down the road. God is doing that to us. And if God sees there's something there between me and my brother, he sees down the road that it's the cause for us to separate. Do you think God wants all of his people in different groups when he's taken us to one heaven? Is that logical? Well, I want you to just go over here and do your own thing. I know you don't get along with brother so-and-so. There's a reason why sometimes God puts us with people that we don't get along with, because there's some rubbing that needs to happen to smooth us all out. Because in order for us, do you realize when we get to heaven who we're going to be around? Do you know Jesus is going to be there? Do you know all these apostles that have come and brought this word of God to us, they're going to be there? Do you know the saints that have come before us are going to be there? And do you think God's going to let our stuff come in? Well, I just have a problem with so-and-so. I don't really like them. Their personality grates me. Do you know how we get over that?
Jacob showed us. Yes. It took seven times him bowing. Yes. Yes. And the end result was him and his brother grabbed each other and hugged and kissed and wept. Don't you think his family, their families looking on said, look at this. These men truly love each other. We can only go up from here. And God is looking at us in the same way. God's got the biggest paper towel that you and I have ever seen. And he is able to clean it all up in one swipe. Sometimes we make a mess, and when I spilled the milk on the floor, paper towels wasn't good enough. I needed a mop and a bucket. But you know what? God's got the best paper towel. He's got the best mop and bucket. He even has a memory eraser that you and I can forget these things that have happened to us and that we can go for. A lot of times these are the things that hinder us in our spiritual walk. This has happened over here, and I remember this over here. May God help us to get a hold to what he has for us. He doesn't want us to carry these dead weights around, but he wants us to break free and fly from these things that we might accomplish what he has for us to accomplish. Pray for me.